Sedra starts off, according to Rashi at least, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to visit Avraham Avinu. He's sick, and after his bris mila, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to teach us to be mevaker chole, to visit the sick, and he appears to him, and he's in the midst of this prophetic experience, and he sees three people passing by his tent, and he says to the Rebbe Nishlom, Vayomar Hashem, Im no motzosi chen beinecho, al no savor mi alavdecha. He looks to God, and he says to him, if I found favor in your eyes, could you please wait here? I have something else to do. I'll be right back. And then, Rashi says, the sentences are written out of order. And then, Vayoratz, he goes and runs towards them, and he takes care of these guests. And then he returns to the Rebbe Nishlom and says, I'm sorry for keeping you waiting, but I had something important to do. I'm glad that you waited for me. And that's what it says. And at the end of this portion here, it says, Va'avram odenu al nei b'fnei Hashem. And Avram Avinu was still standing before God. And Rashi points out, according to the Gemara, that really should say, and God was still standing there by Avram, but that wasn't a nice thing to say. So the Torah said it in a more honorable way, instead of saying that God waited there the whole time. But that's in fact what happened. Right, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam continued to have his presence there by Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu took a break to receive these guests. When he was finished, he went back and they had that prophetic experience again with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So the Gemara tells us that we learn a tremendous lesson from this, that God Gedola Hachnosas Orchim Yoser Mehakbolas Pnei Hashchina, that receiving guests is greater than receiving God's presence. Because if it wouldn't be greater, how could Avraham Avinu interrupt his prophetic experience to go and receive guests? Ha'osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha'mitzvah. A person's involved with one mitzvah, he doesn't stop it to do a different mitzvah. And if speaking to God was greater than bringing in guests, he should have remained speaking to God. Obviously, from here we see that it's greater to receive guests than even to speak to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And that may have halachic implications even for us, because if somebody has to daven and he has guests to receive and he can only do one or the other, he's going to have to either neglect the guests completely, right? Not tell them, you know, please, I'll be right back, but you'll be taken care of or whatever. But he's going to miss the chance of having the guests, or he's going to totally neglect them. Or he can daven. It could be that doesn't have to daven. Because davening is receiving God's presence, and the Gemara says that receiving guests is more important. So, in any case, I want to explain this idea. Why is that? I mean, it doesn't seem like receiving guests and receiving God's presence are similar even, that one should be considered greater, lesser, whatever. They're two completely different things. Greater and lesser is degree. That's only where in form, in substance, they're the same, except difference in degree. So how do you say this is apples and oranges? Get to the apples bigger than the orange. They're different things. This orange is bigger than that orange. Then they're only difference in degree. But things that are completely different, what's the idea of this is greater than this? So first, we have to understand what does it mean, Hakbolas Pnei Hashchina. We are not familiar with this idea, but we'll see that we have something that we can learn it from that has implications, not necessarily for us today, but implications that we can relate to. Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina, we did really three times a year by Sholosh Regalim. We went to see and be seen by God in the Beis Hamikdash. Now we can reduce that to something even more tangible to us, and that is that we learn from this idea of going three times a year to see the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. We don't exactly learn it from there directly, but it's connected to that, that one has to go and see his Rebbe on Yontif, on Shalosh Regalim. Okay, he has a chiyuv to go, and to receive his Rebbe on the Shalosh Regalim, Hakbalas Pnei Harav. Okay. And the Note of Yehuda says that that mitzvah does not apply today, since we had a mitzvah to receive God's presence on the Shalosh Regalim and to be seen in the Azara, where God's presence is the most intense, and that doesn't apply today. So therefore, this which is an offshoot of that, can't be greater, right, than the main mitzvah of receiving God's presence. So there's no mitzvah today, min haTorah at least, to receive your Rebbe's presence. Yes?
Yeah, but it might not be greater, but isn't it like instead of, because we can't go to the Beis HaMikdash?
Not really, because even in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a mitzvah to go and receive your Rebbe. But it was an offshoot, right? In other words, during on Yontif, you should receive all of the Shechina that you can. Some you receive by receiving it from directly from God, and some through your Rebbe, which is also a person's respect for his Rebbe, should be like the respect and fear of God. So the Rebbe is a function of that Shechina. So where the mitzvah doesn't apply in its most intense form, it doesn't apply from the Torah, even in its lesser intense form. That's part of the entire mitzvah. However, right, we can learn from the mitzvah of Kabbalas Pnei Harav what the purpose of Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina. Now, this is more tangible, and there are two different opinions, and both of them are probably true, as to what the purpose of receiving one's Rebbe, or going to one's Rebbe on Shalosh Regalim, achieved. Some say, and it seems from the Rambam that this is the idea, that it is a function of Kavod HaTorah, Kavod HaRav. Right? You show honor, and we'll discuss how that is. You honor the Rebbe by visiting him on Shalosh Regalim. It's Kavod HaTorah. Okay. And the second idea is that it's for the sake of learning. You have free time during Yontif. Yontif was given, it says, for extra learning of Torah. So during that time, it's an ideal time, besides the fact that during Shalosh Regalim, there's extra shefa, extra plenty of spiritual, what's the word I'm looking for?
Abundance.
What?
Abundance.
Abundance, yeah, but what?
Bracha.
Bracha, influence. Okay, a spiritual influence in the world is abundant and is in much greater intense degree. So you want to go and learn from your Rebbe during that time, so you go to visit him to be able to learn. Well, see, it's not just to hear what he has to say, it's much deeper than that. Okay. So therefore, it would follow that Hakbalas Pnei Hashchina of going during Shalosh Regalim and receiving God's presence in the Beis HaMikdash had both reasons too. One was a learning experience, and one was a show of respect for the Rabbanu Shalom. Those are the two things that come from, what's it called, from going to the Beis HaMikdash, Shalosh Regalim. One was an intense learning experience, and the other one was a show of respect to the Rabbanu Shalom. Now let me explain how those both work. First of all, when you see the person that you're learning from, okay, it makes much more of an impression, and you're able to really understand what he's saying more than when you just hear it. I hear this complaint from women all the time who have to hear a drasha from behind a mechitza, and they say, we hear, but if we can't focus on the person that's speaking, right, we miss something. Therefore, I permit my shul that was just a shir or a drasha that they open up the curtains of the mechitza so they can see who's speaking. And the Gemara supports that. The Gemara says that Rebbe, there was Rebbe, yeah, there was Rebbe or the Arameh the other way. In any case, one, what's it called, said that I reached a level in Torah that I could reach because I once saw, what's it called, my Rebbe from behind, or a great, right? Had I seen his face, I would have even reached greater levels. Because if you don't see the facial features and the body language of the person giving the shiur, you miss something. It's all included, right? The Jews especially learn with their hands, right, a lot, and seeing the hand motions and seeing the facial motions or whatever, you get a clearer picture of what the Torah Shebaal Peh is. So going to the Rebbe, you can't do it all the time, but you do it when you're free, on Yontif. To be able to see him, right, makes an impression in what's it called in learning Torah. And that's why it says, V'hoyu einecha ro'os es morecha. Your eyes should see your teacher. Seeing, right, makes the lessons, makes the Torah, makes what he's teaching clearer. There's another idea, and that is when you can actually be in the presence of your Rebbe, you can also see how he acts. And you can see how he applies the Torah to real life. That also is a learning experience. So that's the idea of Godel Shimusha Yosele Milimuda. Sometimes serving a Torah personality is even greater than learning from him, because here you learn firsthand by life experience of how he applies the Torah. So that's also another idea. And there's another idea of liros, to see, right? Seeing also means to understand. I see what you mean. I see what you're saying. You don't really see anything. It means you understand what you're saying. In Hebrew, with the same idea. Roe ani es divrei adma. I see, meaning I prefer, I see the logic of this and prefer it. I understand it. That's also an idea of seeing. So when it comes to a human Rebbe, there is an idea of seeing the person because you can learn better from him. You can also learn from his ways and his conduct. And also, you can understand better when you're in close proximity. You can ask questions, whatever. That's one benefit of going to receive your Rebbe and visit him on Yom Tov, the learning aspect. Okay, it's part of Talmud Torah. And therefore, by the Rabbanu Shel Olam, is the same thing. By the Rabbanu Shel Olam, we go three times a year on Yom Tov, when we're free, and when there's this extra abundance of influence, spiritual influence in the world, we go kibiyachol to see the Rabbanu Shel Olam, right? Meaning that we go to learn Torah. The Kohanim, the Sanhedrin, are all in the Beis Hamikdash. This is the place where I can really intensely learn Torah. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah. I go also to see the Rabbanu Shel Olam, meaning to understand his ways. I see his midos more in Yerushalayim, because everything in Yerushalayim is more hashgacha pratis than even the rest of Eretz Yisrael. There's more divine connection to Yerushalayim. And I see the Kohanim and the Leviim, right? And I can, what's it called? I see the avoda, the korbanos. I see all the nisim, all the miracles that occur in the Beis HaMikdash. All of this is an intense learning experience, right, that is coupled with going to see the Shekhinah. Seeing the Shekhinah means learning, a learning experience in all the ways that we mentioned. Then there's a second idea of going to see a Rebbe, and that is that I have that feeling that I am responsible to report to my Rebbe when I'm free. I can't do it all the time because I have other things that I have to get involved in. But Sholosh Regalim, I'm free. So I should go and report to my Rebbe as a sign of respect, as a sign of obedience, as a sign that I am responsible to him for his guidance. I accept his authority. It's a sign of acquiescing to the Rebbe's authority and to go and to be scrutinized by him. Okay, to report in, right? When you realize that somebody else is greater than you and you have to bow to their authority and you need their guidance. So you report in every once in a while to the authority figure. That's a sign of respect when you show that you have to report in. So you go to report in. So that's similar to what we do with the Rabbanu Shel Olam too. Three times a year we come to Kibiyochel, God's headquarters, and we report in that we should be scrutinized, assessed, reviewed, and the God should see if we're living up to our responsibilities or not. And that is, what's it called? That is another aspect of the Re'iyas Panim, Hakbalas Pnei Hashchina, receiving God's presence. On Shalosh Regalim, it's an aspect of honoring God. Okay, it's a sign of respect, honor, a sign that we are acquiescing to God's authority over us and feel that we need to be reviewed, assessed, and we accept that. We're coming to show our subjugation to God. So those are the two ideas. They apply both to seeing your Rebbe during Yontif and seeing the Rabbanu Shalom during Yontif. In fact, it's also in the Sedra. In the end of the Sedra, it says that Avraham Avinu, after he offered the sacrifice in place of Yitzchak, right? So it says, Vayikra Avraham. Inside. After he offered the ram in place of Yitzchak, and it was mamash like he sacrificed Yitzchak. He did it with the same intention. God prevented him from sacrificing his son. But he sacrificed this animal as if it would have been his son. The same intention. So he actually fulfilled the Akedah through the eye. So it says, Vayikra Avram, Shem HaMakom Ahu, Hashem Yireh. Avram called the name of that place, meaning the Beis HaMikdash, the place of the Beis HaMikdash, Har HaMoriah. Hashem Yireh, God will see. Asher Ye Omer Hayom, the Har Hashem Yireh. As will be said till today on the mountain where God will be seen. See and will be seen. Okay? So Chazal say that's exactly the point that this is one of the functions of the Beis HaMikdash. It's a place where God sees you and where God is seen by you. And that's what it says. Shalosh pa'amim ba'shana yeiro'eh kol zechurcha es p'nei Hashem Elokecha. So the Gemara learns out from that three times a year you should be seen by God, but also you should see God. Doesn't mean literally, but the way we describe what it means to see God, right? To be inspired, to be to learn from all the things that go on in the Beis HaMikdash or whatever. So there's an Indian of Yireh, Hashem Yireh, God will see, and Har Hashem Yireh, the mountain where God will be seen. You see, God sees. Combination of both things, that's called the mitzvah of Re'iyas Panim. And that's what Avraham Avinu made, in other words, after the idea of a sacrifice is to get close to God. But after you're close, now I'm here, what do you do? Okay, now I got in. So now I can see the king. What am I supposed to do? So the idea is look and see and inquire and learn. That's you see. And realize that you're being seen, accept that authority, accept that honor, the Ribbono Shel Olam, by acquiescing to his authority of realizing that you have to be seen by him. So that's what the korban brought Avraham Avinu close to God. Now, the same thing, we bring korbanos when we go to the Beis HaMikdash in order that we can see and be seen. And those are two ideas. The idea of Torah, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah, the Beis HaMikdash is the place where Torah is communicated, and seeing God is a function of that Torah aspect. And then there's also Yiras Hashem. That's why they say Har HaMoriah. Why was it called Har HaMoriah? For two reasons. One is Misham Yotzaho Ra'a La'olam. In that place, teaching went to the world. And in that place, Yiras Hashem, fear of God, went to the world. Both aspects. Right? That's the place where you get close to God by making korbanos. And therefore, once you're close, you have a chance to see and to be inspired with Torah and all the concepts of Midos Tovos, or whatever we learn from that connection to God, and we also have a chance to express our honor to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, which is Yerushalayim. So Har HaMoriah, the place of the Beis HaMikdash, has both aspects, Hora and Yira. And that's Yireh and Yeroeh. God will see, you be seen. You go to see God, you go to be seen by God. Same thing. So now we have established what Hakbolas Pnei Hashchina is. What does that mean to receive God's presence? And you could understand that after the Bris Milah, Avraham Avinu, God came to him, not to tell him anything, but to have this experience of being close to God and being able to learn from him more, see his midos, understand him more, right? That closeness and prophetic closeness came to this tremendous, the Rambam says, Nevuah is not that God tells the Navi anything. It's just that having that closeness to God opens up a wellspring of knowledge, of being able to observe God close up which reveals to the Navi things that he could never have known had he not had this expanded prophetic opening of his mind and closeness to God. And the same thing, at the same time, a person gets a tremendous yirat shamayim of having that feeling closeness to God. God is observing me, assessing me, and I have to report into him. I have to report to him because he has authority over me. So both of those things are included in Hakbalas Pnei Ashrina, and this is what God intended to offer Avraham Avinu by coming to visit him after his 3 days of the Bris Milah, when he was still ailing and sick. This perked him up in both ways. It increased his Yiras Shamayim, it increased his knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and of Torah, which is knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. So now we know what Hakbalas Pnei Ashrina is. Now, what's Gedola Hachnosas Orchim Yosef Me'Hakbalas Ashrina? But receiving guests is even greater than all of that. Yeah? No, no, no. I mean your teacher. The Rebbe that this applies to, according to everybody, is the person you learn most of your wisdom from. Okay? Could be it applies even to somebody you learn most of your wisdom in one area from. And it could be anybody who you're learning from at that time has a din of your Rebbe, not Rebbe Mufak, your Stam Rebbe.
Or Rebbe.
What? Or Rebbe. Right. Or Rebbe. Okay, now let's see what receiving guests. Hachnosas Orchim. You notice it doesn't say Chipul Beorchim, Chesed Beorchim. It says Hachnosas, receiving them, bringing them in. The first idea of bringing in a guest shows that you can be like God. Right? Why? Because let's look how it applies to God. God is everywhere. Okay? And really there's no place for anything else. But God somehow was mitzamtzem himself, okay? He somehow condensed himself, so to speak, and made place for other people. God is the place of the world. There is no place. But God made place, and basically he made the place for human beings, that there should be a place for human beings, and he created an entire universe for the sake of those human beings, and he basically brought them into his place. That's godly. And then he, for the all time, right, throughout the history of the world, takes care of the needs of those people that he was machnis, that he received, that he brought into his place. Okay? So taking people and bringing them into your place, into your house, right? Your house is your castle. It's your turf. And to take that and bring other people in there and to serve their needs in the place that's yours, that's godly. It's exactly what God did. It also shows a certain amount of humility. It shows that you don't consider yourself, you know, such a big shot. You're willing to break room for other people in your place. So that's why the emphasis on chnosas orchin, bringing them in, is a tremendously important thing. And therefore, the more that you are godlike, the more that you act like God, the more you, what's it called, learn from God's ways too, right? We'll get to that in a second. So that's one idea of Hachnosas Orchim. You bring somebody else into your place and serve them, which is exactly what God did with creation. He brought people into his place and serves them, feeds them, clothes them, and whatever. Okay. And that way you become like God. You emulate God. Okay. And therefore, and also, there is what's called the second aspect. After you bring them in, you serve them. And you do chesed for them. Because an oreach means he's only temporarily where he is, and he can't take care of himself. Even a rich man who's not home has no place to eat, no place to sleep, so he's like a poor person. Person on the road is considered like a poor person. Even if he has millions of dollars at home. But if he doesn't have that money with him, right, then he can't provide for himself. So he's a poor person. So you're doing tremendous chesed, even for people who can afford it, when they're out of their place, to what's it called? To do chesed with them. And that also is what's it called? A a very positive thing of being like God. The greatest way of being like God is chesed. Chesed is the prime midah of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore being a baal chesed is emulating God. So by being machnis oreach, it's not just tam chesed. It's a chesed that really emulates God's essence. Because vis-a-vis creation, God's essence is making place for a world, predominantly human beings, and the rest of the world is for the sake of them, bringing them into his place, and then serving their needs. That's achnosas orchim. Making place for someone in your place, and serving their needs. That's mamish being godly. So that's one aspect of achnosas orchim. There's a second aspect. That second aspect is that you honor God's representative. People were created in God's image. So by serving the needs of other people, right, by achnosas orchim, you are showing honor to human beings, which is an honor to God. Okay, so it's an honor to God too. So it comes out that both functions of having that divine experience is achieved through Hachnosis Orchim. Hachnosis Orchim lets you be like God, and therefore to emulate him and learn from his ways, and to respect God, because you're respecting God's image. If you respect his image, surely you respect him. In fact, it's even greater, because if the person who respects only the king, but not the king's children, right, has a certain respect for the king. But if his respect spills over to the king's representatives, to his family, that means he really respects the king. So respecting human beings who were created in God's image because they were created in God's image is even greater respect than respecting God directly. So put that all together. What do you have as a result of Achnosis Orchim? A tremendous show of respect for God, but even greater respect than if you would respect God directly, and a chance to emulate God and to learn from him, because you are being like him. By being like God, right, and emulating him, you're able then to learn from him and to, okay. Now, what's the difference between Hakbolas Teyashchin and therefore Hachnosas Orchim? Which one's greater? Which one's a greater experience? So, what? What? Well, hold on one second. So the idea is the following. One, God initiates. He comes and he gives me the chance to observe him, to learn from him, to honor him. Okay? But that's a short-lived thing. How does that become eternal? Only when I can become like God, and then eternally I have that connection to him. And I'm the one who initiates it. So in this respect, they're both the same things. They're not two different things, like we said in the beginning. Hachnosis Orchim contains in it the same concepts of Hakbalas Pnei Hashchina, except the Hachnosis Orchim I initiate, and it's something that makes me a different person, where I have that connection to God eternally. It's not just a temporary thing that God initiates, right? It's something that I initiate, and it comes from me. And therefore, the idea of having that connection to God constantly depends on me becoming more God-like. The more God-like I am, the more of a connection to God I have in the future. So God can initiate a relationship with me temporarily here, but I can initiate a relationship with him that lasts eternally. Because the more God-like I am, the more I'm mekabel pnei Hashchina in the future. And the proof to that is that there are four groups that aren't mekabel the pnei Hashchina at all in the future. They are liars and people who are mesapri lashon hara. They speak lashon hara. They're leitzim and chanofim. Chanofim are people who what's the word? They what? No, leitzonim is scoffers. Chaneith, what? Flatterers, right, flatterers. They flatter the bad things in the world. If you look at Rabbeinu Yonah, he has a whole section in Shari Tshuva about these four things. The common denominator is they are all the antithesis of God. Sheker is the, God is Emes. The antithesis of God is Sheker. Lashon Hara, right, is the antithesis of using your speech for what God gave you to be a godly person with speech. You're taking that and making the antithesis. It's the antithesis of godliness. The same thing, late sonus, right? This is a serious world Right? Litzanis is scoffing at those things that are serious. It's being anti-godliness. And to flatter wickedness is also the antithesis of goodness. So these four things will never be makabel pnei ashrina, because the people who do them are don't have that connection to God. They don't have that, they're not similar to God. You can only be makabel pnei ashrina if you're like the shrina. So the more like the shrina you are, the more you will have that relationship with God in the future. So therefore, which is greater? An experience of being, of seeing God temporarily in this world, or the ability to create the means to be able to see God in on an ongoing, eternal basis, which Hachnasas Orchim creates. So Hachnasas Orchim and Hakbolas Pnei Ashrina basically serve the same end, except Hachnasas Orchim is much, much greater, because you initiate it and it's something that lasts then forever, because you're changing yourself and making yourself more God-like. Whereas God initiating it is a one-time, temporary thing where you have that closeness and that ability to have a connection with God. So now you can understand why G'dola Hachnasas Orchim, Yosem Hakbolas Pnei Ashrina.